Praise God. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Sunday before the 25th. Today we celebrate and honor Jesus' birth. Now, as we said before, the 25th was picked because it was a week before the New Year's. And it's also on the other side of vernal equinox where the shortest day is ended and it starts to come longer. The days are longer. So the light is coming in. The day is longer now that Jesus is born. That's why they picked this for the time. Couple quick stories to start us off with. Handel's Messiah, the last song you heard from was from Handel's Messiah, who Beethoven says was the best composer ever. It's quite a compliment in my opinion. He was very, very sick, probably on his deathbed, when the Lord asked him to do Handel's Messiah, do one more composition. He was a very devout man, so he did Handel's Messiah. And of course, if you're with the Hallelujah chorus, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, that's part of that musical piece. Either right before or during his work on that song, he got healed. And that just shows how powerful the Lord's music is. So if you're out there feeling physically challenged, and I want you to receive that healing noise going out right now. And just receive it. It's there for you now. And most of the songs we listen to, what I call the Christian Christmas songs, are a couple hundred years old, 200-300 years old. There was a lot more reverence for the Lord back then. And although the world has changed right now, and we're a little more secular in certain areas, the thing is this here. Somehow, some way, people are still honoring Jesus' birth. And I don't see any celebrations like this for Muhammad, for Confucius, for any other so-called false deity, but for Jesus. And because of this birth, the calendar was changed. And that shows how powerful this day was. Is it exactly correct? No, it's not. We don't know the exact days. We don't know the exact years. But relatively speaking, this is called officially 2025, the year of our Lord. That's because Jesus was born. And there were many obstacles to Jesus being born. We're going to talk about those today. Nothing is easy. So as you look at the challenge in your own life, realize that it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be a challenge. But with the Lord, you're able to overcome that challenge. Okay? So, the title of this message is Don't Quit, Press On, Part 2. It's kind of a unique message for our Christmas Day, but we're going to speak about Jesus involved in this. And just before big breakthroughs are coming, challenges may arise, but we can't quit. Just like in time of Moses, for years, the Hebrews cried out to God to redeem them from slavery of Egypt. They were forced to make bricks without straw, which made the work even harder. Now, that's the devil trying to make them quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to put your plans on the shelf and wait for Jesus to return. Okay? But they didn't quit. And God came through and brought them out of Egypt. Joseph and Mary didn't quit. Jesus didn't quit. We thank God for the prophecy in Isaiah 9:6 that came true. That's why we celebrate Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when you read the Bible, there's this tapestry woven together that's painting this beautiful picture we're going to see. This is my opinion now. You look at the Hebrews that had to go into Egypt and come out of Egypt, okay? Jesus had to go into Egypt and come out of Egypt. Things don't happen by coincidence. But we're going to see here how things are working now in your lives with Jesus, everything to glorify God, okay? So even though you face some challenges, I want you to press forward toward the mark of your high calling. You only lose if you quit. So don't quit. That's how you're going to have victory. Now, when you look at events, and right now we're at the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. Okay, we'll talk more about that another time. But why it was such a great victory, because it was such a big challenge. The challenge you're going through are preparing you for what to come ahead. If we don't prepare, we won't be ready. Now, about this time, back in the early 90s, I had a tailor shop. It was 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And a gentleman walked in that made me look small. He was maybe 6'7", maybe 350 pounds. And he was huge. And I was in the back, and the seamstress that was taking care of him was about Pastora Sarah's size. And she's politely telling him that it's 2 days before Christmas, we can't get it done for you, you know. And he gets and tries to intimidate her. I walk out and I start laughing. He goes, "What's so funny?" I said, "You're not going to intimidate her. She was a Vietnamese lady. We got in from Vietnam. She went through 3-tier barbed wire and claymore mines. There's nothing you can do to scare her." And that's your challenges. When the time comes up, that devil reels his ugly head, you're not going to be afraid of him because you're going to be prepared for it. I want to tell him, besides, her husband was the martial arts instructor for the army that fought with us in Vietnam. You really don't want to mess with her. As you go behind that couch, take out your knees, and then you'll be her size, be all over. You won't even see her move. He goes, "What? Buddy, we want your business, but we lying to you, said we have for Christmas. You'd be more upset if you come in Christmas Eve. It's not ready for you. Have for your New Year's Eve, if it can, for Christmas Eve." He was fine with that. But the point is, she wasn't intimidated. My point is this here. Your challenges that you go through are going to make you stronger, because the end times coming toward us are going to be horrific. And it's because Jesus was born, that we have Jesus inside of us, after he died and was resurrected, we're going to handle those challenging times, but only if we prepare ourselves for it, okay? All right, so press on through adversities. A, God will give you victory over hardship if you don't quit. Psalms 105, 37 to 45. He also brought them out with silver and gold. This is the Hebrews back in Egypt. And there was none feeble among his tribes. Now, just remember this thing. When God does something, he does it in a big way. Okay? Now, these people have been enslaved for 400 years. They were beaten. They were trashed. They were malnourished. They came out strong because God made them that way. Each was glad when they departed, for fear of them had fallen upon them. Now, when you're standing in your confidence, like that young lady I told you about, the demons start to shake. They are afraid of you. When you take your authority, your boldness in Christ Jesus, they are afraid of you. Okay? He spread a cloud for covering to give them fire, to give them light and night. The people asked, he brought quail and satisfied them with bread of heaven. He supplied everything they need. Okay? He opened the rock, water gushed out, ran in dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Number 43, he brought out his people with joy. What's this season called? Joy. This is a joyful season. This is the Christmas season. You see joy all around you today, okay? His chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles and they inherited the labor of the nations. That's a wealth transfer, by the way, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Okay. Whatever happens going forward, rest assured, because Christ was born, Christ died, and Christ resurrected, and he lives inside you now, you are prepared for what's coming. Okay? B, press on toward the goal to win the prize. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, which God in Christ Jesus calls us upward. Okay? C, press on toward your miraculous journey. Now, Joseph and Mary pressed on and didn't quit when they faced enormous challenges. Mary pressed on and didn't quit when the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to have a miraculous conception. Now, that had to be a challenge of a fear at first in her. I mean, think about this. Young girl, estimated 13 to 15 years old, angels come down and say, you're going to get pregnant. Not the typical thing that a Jewish person in those days did. Okay. Now, Mary didn't quit, but she obeyed God that he would protect her from possible public shame, possible death by stoning if pregnant before marriage, and possible divorce from Joseph, her betrothed groom. Now, the way weddings worked back in those days, as a small child, the parents decided who was going to marry each other. And when they finally were actually betrothed, to break that off was like a divorce. It's more than here where they break up, a fiancé gives back the ring or something like that. This was a different situation back there. It was totally, totally different, okay? Now, when they talk about death, an unmarried pregnant girl in those days were stoned. Now, I've been hit in the face before. I know it's that hurt. I can't imagine how much hundreds of stones being thrown at a body would hurt. Especially a small young woman. She had to know the consequences if things didn't work out and still put her trust in God. So are you putting your trust in God that much? As you go forward today, are you putting your trust like Mary had to put her trust in God? And you receive that vision, that dream, we're going to talk more about that a little bit. Are you ready to go forward knowing that God has you back, front, sides, everywhere? Okay? Now, Joseph pressed on, didn't quit, he faced multiple serious challenges. Joseph didn't quit when he discovered that Mary was pregnant before they got married. Now, this would be a total embarrassment for a man in those days. To take care of a woman with another man's child was unheard of. Okay? Especially after an angel of God appeared to him in dreams. Especially after an angel of God appeared to him, being Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a lot of faith. Okay? He had to believe that that dream was true. He didn't know. He just knew he wasn't the father. But he had to believe that he was hearing from an angel. Okay? Now, it seems to me that Joseph showed that he was a man of great compassion. He had compassion for Mary and didn't want to divorce her, but pondered what to do. During that time, God gave him a dream to confirm that Mary was telling the truth, that her son was truly the Son of God, who also became the Son of Man in the flesh as our baby to be our Messiah. Now, not much is recorded about Joseph, but God spoke to him four times through dreams. In fact, we know of no word that Joseph ever spoke back. There's no word in the Bible he ever responded to anything. I read this, he was just a faithful and obedient son of God. Okay. Now, when God gets your attention like that, just like Joseph, don't quit. Inquire of God what to do, and he will guide you. This is very important. Don't let the pressures of the world tell you to do something different than what God is telling you what to do. And there's a lot of pressure in the world telling people what to do these days. And it takes a real strong person to stand up against that. Okay? Press on, be immediately obedient, submit to his will, not to your own will. Surrender your will to God's will. It's always good. God will always have the better path for your life and eternal rewards. Okay. God always will take care of you. Okay. Luke 2:1-20. Joseph and Mary pressed on towards Bethlehem. They didn't quit. They were very pregnant. Mary had to travel a long way, and God provided a donkey. Now, from Nazareth to Bethlehem is approximately 90 miles. Normally, it's a four-day walk. Now, you mothers know this. The last couple weeks of your pregnancy is not sometime you're going to be on a donkey bouncing around on rough roads, okay? They estimate it probably took about a week to do that, okay? But it shows, in spite of tremendous obstacles, they pushed through. Do you think they didn't want to quit? They didn't want to say, well, we just won't bother to have taxes. We'll just go have the baby somewhere else. No. They did it. They did what they had to do, okay? All right. Now, they didn't quit. There's no room at the inn. God provided shelter in a humble manger. Okay. Now, Joseph and Mary pressed on towards Egypt. They didn't quit when they quickly had to leave Bethlehem because God warned him in a dream before danger came with specific instructions on where to go and what to do. God gave Joseph a second dream, and God told him, arise, take the young child, his mother, flee to Egypt, stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child, his mother by night, and departed for Egypt. Now, I want you to think about something. This is what too many Christians do. They get a word and think, well, I'll just pray and God just protect me here. If God gives you instruction, you follow the instruction. If you're outside that instruction, you're outside his protection. When we were in Guatemala, and I just moved down there, a couple, 3 months maybe, and we were negotiating for a new lease for the office. And I really didn't like the landlord. I get along pretty much with anybody, but I really didn't like this person. And one day I woke up and I heard the voice inside me at night say, shut down the office, move into your home. So I get up that day, I tell Pastor Karen, I said, we're going to close down the office, move into our home. I told the team, you cannot believe the flack I took for that. That was a ton of work. We're going to do it in one day, okay? And, well, what, don't you have the faith? Can't you believe that God's going to provide for you and protect you? So all I know is God told me to close down the office and move in the home, and that's what we're doing. We did. 2 days later, we got the word that two of the churches that supported us had split. Our funding was cut more than in half. Now, I obeyed God. Because I obeyed God, because I heard his voice in my dream, we were okay. We cash flowed fine, went through the year without any problems at all. But imagine if I had a second lease note to pay. That can be real challenging. Here's the point. When you hear from God, and you know it's God, you know it may stand against what you want to say or what you want to do, you do it. Fair enough? Okay. So he took his young child and flew to Egypt and stayed there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arrives, he took the young child and mother by night and departed for Egypt. Now, think about this. There were no street lights. There were no GPSs. Okay. We estimate the baby to be about 2 years old at that point in time because Herod killed the babies 2 years younger. Still, he wasn't a wealthy man. But he went anyway. Okay. You know, Joseph was poor, he pressed onward towards Bethlehem, walking in faith. God provided wealth for staying in Bethlehem to take home, provided wealth for him to flee to Egypt as long as it was there necessary. Now, there's no real record of how long he stayed in Egypt, but that's between 2 months and 2 years. We just don't know. However, the wise men had come to Bethlehem to provide those riches and wealth the King of Kings and his family were able to safely to live safely wherever God sent them. He provided gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if you look at the history of that time, that region, when the kings came, they came in a caravan. They didn't bring little boxes of things. They brought a lot of wealth. Okay? And they gave it to the newborn king. Now, if you look at the Saudis today, when they give somebody a gift, they give them a Gulfstream. They don't give them a Timex. Okay. I heard of a gentleman who was talking one day about, he was in those areas, how he wanted new golf clubs. Meaning he wanted a really nice set of expensive playing clubs. Well, the Saudi princes heard it and bought him a country club. Okay. This is the way kings treat people. This is the way these wise men treated the King of Kings. You've read in stories how people brought so much wealth to Solomon when he was there. Why? Because they were honoring his kingship. Okay. Now, that money is supposed to be set aside for Jesus' education. It wasn't to be spent on a lot of things. They had to be very frugal with that money. But to estimate that was probably over $100 million worth of value they gave to him. By people who researched the caravans of those days and so forth. It's an estimate. We don't know exactly, but the point is God was still providing for Jesus in the natural way. Okay. The wise men found baby Jesus. They followed through a special star that appeared in the east, leading to the location of the newborn king of the Jews. Before they found the baby Jesus, they visited King Herod to inquire about the newborn king. Figured the local king would know about a newborn king, right? They were warned in a God-given dream, another dream here, not to return to King Herod after finding the baby Jesus. They returned to their country through another way, a different route. Now, again, the king of the area tells you to do it. You think the king might send an army out after you if you don't follow his orders. They had to be very wise to do what the Lord said. Okay. When you draw close to God and are obedient to his word, even devastating end-time challenges that are going to come up on the earth, don't quit, but press on, because God will also warn you and tell you where to go. Tell you what to do with specific instructions, provide you as long as you need to be there. I don't care what happens in the future, God will never leave us nor forsake us. As long as we're obedient to him, we will be taken care of. Okay? Now, one of the things we work on very hardly, Pastor Karen and myself here, is to help people hear the voice of God better. Okay? ABCers who faithfully attend Wednesday Overcomer Service, participate in Wake 6:33 and prayer time, who pray in tongues for an hour during the Triple Triumphant Prayer Method of Intercession, once are given extraordinarily vigorous training of how to hear the voice of God more clearly than ever. They can now receive specific instructions from the Holy Spirit. In addition, Pastor Karen and I are training them how to become miracle workers. God is supernaturally providing for all these ABCers and other 633ers as well. Now, those of you who have not been able to participate, I strongly suggest you join us or watch the video replays of Wednesday night services at ABC On Demand website. In addition, I recommend that you view our Awake 633 videos on your Facebook group page when you cannot join us at Zoom at 6:33 a.m. Pacific time. It's important to learn what is going to happen by studying the Bible book of Revelation, but if you do not hear the voice of God better than you do now, how will you know what you and your family are supposed to do, specifically to go to a safe place? You don't hear God's voice enough to be warned where to go before the terrible things happen. What if God told you to pack up all your stuff, leave your home at night to avoid danger? You want to take that chance to disobey, or do you want to be obedient? Do you want to be prepared as possible to be more on target, to hear God's voice better than you do now? This is very important right now. This is one of the main functions of ABC Church, to get people ready to hear and obey. It's that simple. You have to hear and obey. Okay. Now, Joseph and Mary pressed on while in a foreign land until God told them when to leave. Okay. They didn't quit living in a strange country. And God gave Joseph a third dream. The angel of God could tell him that it was time to return to Israel. Joseph showed that he was obedient and patient to wait on the Lord's perfect timing. Don't get ahead of God. God's not telling you to do something, don't do it. Wait to hear from God. He will lead you and guide you every step of the way. Joseph had a fourth dream. The angel of God told him specific instructions to go back to Nazareth, not to Bethlehem. Now, it's very important that we hear that the dreamers hear dreams. God talks to people in dreams, in my opinion, because that's when they can't talk back to him. Okay? And if you're really on tune to things, you don't argue anyway. Okay? Now, Mary pressed on as a single mother after Joseph died. She did not quit, and God showed her how to raise Jesus and the rest of her children she had with Joseph. Jesus never quit on us, pressed on towards the cross. The angel of God told both Mary and Joseph individually at separate times that God wanted the baby to be called Jesus, and Jesus means Jehovah saves. Mary fulfilled the prophecy. She was the virgin. Now, everything about this happening is a miracle. It starts with a virgin being pregnant. Okay. But now she's just a virgin, not just a virgin. She was the virgin who was chosen by God to be the mother of our God incarnate. He is both fully human and fully divine. He became flesh in the form that supernaturally, miraculously, baby bore, she called Jesus. Now Matthew's quoting the prophet Isaiah 7:14 when he said, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated as God with us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." The ultimate Christmas gift. God gave his son. He gave his son for you, that you could be saved. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth." Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. "When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that might receive the adoption of sons." Romans 1, 3 to 4. "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So don't quit, but press on towards your godly goal to win your heavenly supreme prize." It is so exciting to be here in this time of year. So exciting to be in this time of life. Not to be afraid of the challenges that come, but to gloriously welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he returns. The resurrection is the greatest date in history. Dying on the cross is the second greatest date in history. But in my opinion, the third greatest date in history was the day Jesus was born. Without his birth, there could be no death, there could be no resurrection. So we take time to honor this day, this season, where we honor the fact that Jesus came. He was given as the ultimate gift for us. He was given to die for us and to take away our sins, our infirmities, our sickness challenges, everything and anything that was wrong with us. So as we give our gifts on Christmas morning, let's please remember the ultimate gift that was given to us by our God who sent his Son to be born for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise the Lord for our Christmas Sunday. We have our Pastor Karen up to do the announcements with us today. So, go ahead, Pastor Karen.
We're going to do communion first.
Yes, go ahead.
And then the offerings, and then the announcements. Okay, so we'll do our communion first. And those of you that are aware of any sins, please go ahead and confess those. And if you are unaware, then repeat with me this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I am not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9. Okay, so Holy Communion prayer. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:24 states that when God had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this affectionately to remember me." So repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As we come to your table.
As we come to your table.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For you love the world.
For you love the world.
So much.
So much.
That you gave your only.
That you gave your only.
Begotten Son.
Begotten Son.
To come to earth.
To come to earth.
As a baby.
As a baby.
To be the Son of Man.
To be the Son of Man.
And the sacrificial lamb.
And the sacrificial lamb.
To redeem us.
To redeem us.
Let us partake and eat this body now. In remembrance of Jesus.
According to 1 Corinthians 11, 25 through 26, similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup, also saying, "This cup is the new covenant ratified and established in your blood. And as often as we drink it, we call God affectionately to remembrance. For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again." Can you please repeat this prayer with me? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the birth of Jesus.
For the birth of Jesus.
As we celebrate Christmas.
As we celebrate Christmas.
Because of the supernatural.
Because of the supernatural.
Miraculous birth of Jesus.
Miraculous birth of Jesus.
The work of redemption.
The work of redemption.
Was fulfilled at the cross.
Was fulfilled at the cross.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We partake.
We partake.
Of the blood of Jesus.
Of the blood of Jesus.
That was the payment.
That was the payment.
For our redemption.
For our redemption.
So let's partake and drink of the Lord's cup in remembrance of Jesus now.
All right, so our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise the Lord.